If your goal is to get on stage to fill your pipeline, then use those three: profile, product, and pipeline to get yourself on more stages, to generate higher fees, or to at least be paid to market to your ideal client.
You are an amazing human being. You're a coach or expert who works hard to make a positive difference for your clients. I'm Joss Willard, and my mission is to help good coaches like you make great profits so you can live an amazing life helping the people you're meant to serve. This podcast is here to help with that. We'll be bringing you the information, resources, experts, and perspectives to allow your practice to make a difference, support the life you want, and reward you fairly and well for the impact that you bring. Welcome to Profit for Coaches. Welcome to another episode of Profit for Coaches. I am your host, Joss Willard, and on today's episode, we're talking with Keith Abraham. Keith is the multi-award-winning, best-selling author of 5 different books published in 12 languages. He also has a 26-year speaking career in which he's presented to more than 1.6 million people in 33 different countries face-to-face. Having done that over the last 2 years, much like the rest of us, Keith transitioned, and he built a purpose-built virtual studio from which he's delivered 279 virtual presentations from his home in Brisbane, Australia, to 87,500 people in 39 different countries. He's one of the world-leading authorities on goal achievement. He's a CSP. He's a Nevin Award winner. He's a keynote speaker of the year. He's an educator of the year. And on top of doing all of these corporate presentations that win him so many awards, he also works with speakers and coaches, assisting them to get onto more stages, generate higher fees, and leverage their expertise. Super excited to have him on the show today. Buckle up, enjoy the episode. Real quick, our goal here at the podcast is for these episodes to provide techniques, tools, skills, strategies, and inspiration that can help any coaching practice be more profitable. But you want your practice to be more profitable. And while you can get all kinds of great things from this episode and any episode of Profit for Coaches, what will help you even more is advice, guidance, and action steps designed around your unique situation, your life, your practice, your goals, your challenges. How can we best help you with that? The quickest way to get you exactly what you need for your practice is for you to head over to profitforcoaches.com. When you're there, click on and grab your profitable practice scorecard. It's absolutely free. It just takes a few minutes. Fill out the scorecard. It will let us know exactly where your practice is and where you want it to go and what you're dealing with. Once you've done that, you'll get a response that tells you exactly what you can do next, the action steps you can take to make your practice more profitable and get you where you want your practice to be as soon as possible. So head on over to profitforcoaches.com and grab your profitable practice scorecard today. Keith, glad to have you here. Thanks for being here, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Wonderful to have the opportunity.
Real quick question, as I like to start things off, I know how I got introduced to you, but not everybody on the planet, weirdly enough, knows exactly who you are and where you came from. So
really?
Yeah, I know. It's a shocker. But what's the brief story of how you became the amazing Keith Abraham you are today?
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Good question. Pretty humble beginnings. I grew up on a farm. I live in Queensland, Australia. In actual fact, I grew up on the Gold Coast. I live these days in Brisbane. And, you know, as a kid growing up, I didn't have too many goals, aspirations. In actual fact, as a young adult growing up, I didn't have too many goals, aspirations either, until I got invited to go along to a leadership program. And now, Josh, I worked at the, I'm going to say the municipality, you know, the local council. And I was hold on to your horses here, Josh. I was a noxious weed inspector. Not the type of weed you smoke, but just a not, and I'm not obnoxious. I was a noxious weed inspector. So I used to go out and look at all these weeds that people had to get rid of on their properties and things like that. Yeah, I wasn't very good at it because my area took in, didn't take in the beach, but I'd often go to the beach for a sleep and a lunch and, you know. So my boss came to one day and he said, look, Keith, we'd like you to go on a week-long leadership program. I thought, he's got rocks in his head. I am not a leader. I am sleeping a couple of hours every day while nobody's looking. The weeds are running rampant in my area. And then he said the magic words, you get a week off work with full pay. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I am a leader. And so I went along to this program, which was run by Rotary, called RYLA, Rotary Youth Leadership Award. It's a week long. They take 18 to 24 year olds out in the bush here in Australia, and they go through a whole stack of, you know, exercises and team building. And on the final day, a guy stood up and started talking about goal setting. And look, I'm 23 and a half years of age. I grew up on the farm. My mum and dad didn't talk about goals. We talked about trucks, tractors, horses, and cattle. That's it. And I fell in love with this concept of goal setting. And one of the activities they asked us to do was write down 100 things we wanted to do in our lifetime. And they gave us 90 minutes to sit under a tree by ourselves and to do this. Now, I'd love to tell you I got them all done, but what I did was, it was the longest 90 minutes of my life. I wrote down 6 things in 90 minutes. And the 7th thing I wrote down was finish this list. I mean, you know, it was, and it took me 6 weeks to get 100 things. And from that day, I started to talk to people about, you know, writing down the 100 things I want to achieve. I went back to that program the year later as a leader, and I presented a goal setting topic on it. That was 37, 38 years ago now. And I honestly, I fell in love with the whole concept of goal setting. And then 26 years ago, I turned that passion into a profession and became a professional speaker. And so for the last 26 years, I've spoken in 39 different countries to 1.6 million people, written 5 best-selling books, published in 12 different languages. I'm multi-award-winning, I'm a CSP, Nevin Award winner, Keynote Speaker of the Year, Educator of the Year, done all this type of stuff. The thing I'm most proud about, Josh, is 96% of my clients have used me a second time. 64% of my clients have used me at least 6+ times. And I got a group of 34% of my clients have used me every year consistently for 10 years plus. And wow. I work with large corporates around the world. And I'd specialize in a few different things. How do we create engaged, enthused, energized people? The second is, how do we create massive momentum in people's businesses? And how do we create high performance, or what I call accelerated performance, in for leaders? So that's a snapshot of married to Christine, two daughters. Can I have a minute silence for that, please? two beautiful young women, 25 and 22. And that's the Keith Abraham story, mate. I hope that was can we just tap the microphone and make sure everyone's waking up by now? So yeah.
I'm sure they're awake. There's a lot there, man. That's a bit of a story there.
So. Yeah. It's been a journey.
Glad you could make that trip to get here today. So that's cool.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
So how do you go from sleeping on the beach to struggling to get 7 answers on 100 things you want to do in your life to being a professional speaker? Like, where does that transition happen?
Yeah. So one of the goals I wrote down is I wanted to work my way up through a corporate organization. And I was on this leadership fast track, I ran some fast food restaurants, some Dunkin' Donuts, actually, when they first came to Australia, because I like donuts. And then I got an opportunity to, really step into a leadership role. Managed 9 retail outlets, 65 staff, 25,000 customers, about a $15 million business. I'm 27 years of age. So I've gone from 24 to 7, in a pretty quick space of time.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did, I worked in that business for a while. I had that little epiphany sometimes people have, and they go, I'm on the wrong train. I'm on the wrong bus. And I said, what do I really love to do? I love to help develop people. I love to help make a difference. I created a corporate program which went to large organizations and said, give us your best and brightest and we'll run a similar program that I experienced as a 24-year-old. We'll run that program for your leaders, and we'll just accelerate their growth. So those emerging leaders. Out of that, a large banking organization here in Australia said to me, we're sending a number of our people on the program. Would you like a full-time job with us? And we will then give you the time off to do your own program as well. It was the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
So I did that for about 6 years. And then I got involved in an organisation called the Brisbane Junior Chamber of Commerce, about 400, 450 members. And I became the president of that organisation. And out of that, I just met some amazing people. And they said, would you come and do this for our business? And I said, well, look, I actually work full time. So my first client was Conrad Hilton on the Gold Coast. They'd opened a casino up there. Somebody had seen me at one of those leadership programs. And they said, can you come and work with our sales team? And I said, I actually work, you know, sort of full time. I said, we're going to run this session on a weekend. Would you do that? And I loved it that much that I said to my wife, and of course we're married, we don't have any kids, we don't have a mortgage or anything like that at that stage. Yeah, I think we did have a mortgage. That just had a mortgage. And I said to my wife, I said, I really love this. I want to go and give this training, professional speaking a crack. And I said, here's the worst thing that can happen. I'll get a real job. I'll go and give it a crack. Worst thing that can happen is I'll get a real job. And so 27 years ago, I just became, I did two things. I obviously love to present, train, develop, enhance people, you know, make a difference in people's lives. I know that sounds quite cliched, but that was the bare bones of it. But then I really started to understand that there's another part of speaking, and that's the business of speaking. That's the business of getting on stages. That's the business of getting, you know, my business was built 100% on referrals. I had a silent unlisted phone number as my home number, which was my business. And you might say, that probably wasn't a good strategy. I just never decided to change it. And I just played on it. I said, well, look, the only way you're going to do business with me is if you referred to me. And I've built my whole business 100% off referrals over the years. Just like, you know, you and I have connected through a group and all of those clients that I've worked with. So I really looked at it and I said, okay, how do you build, it's the business of the speaking, because right. Lots of people can get on stages. They don't make any money out of it. Like I had some, geez, do I even go down this pathway? Yeah, why not?
Sure.
You know, I've just been talking to a few speakers and they said, oh, yeah, I'm a professional speaker. And I go, oh, that's great. You know, who do you work with and what type of topic? Oh, I've done two TEDx talks. My understanding is that you don't get paid for TEDx. Oh, yeah, that's right. And so you're a professional speaker now. Yeah, right. How many bookings do you get? Oh, no, I haven't had any other bookings. Right. Okay. You know, so I think there's a big difference between the business of being a speaker and being a speaker.
Yeah.
And that's what I specialize in.
Excellent. And I want to dig into that a little bit, because one of the things that a lot of folks that listen hear from me is that there are three self-promotion strategies that you have to use all the time. And that's, you know, your networking, your referrals, and your direct outreach. And there's three that are optional. You need to pick one of them and leverage it. And one of the ones we talk about is the speaking strategy. And it's really easy to say, okay, well, you know, pick a topic that you know your audience is gonna want to hear about, that's gonna tie back to what you do, and then go get on stage. And we don't go deep into how to build a career around being a speaker, because it's one way to bring in new clients, new revenue, all that kind of stuff. But like you say, there's a business to it. This is not a thing where you don't come to me to find out how to be a successful speaker. I can tell you how speaking can help your business. But there's not a whole lot of really great resources out there that I've run into for how to decide, I'm going to build my business around speaking as the primary way that I drive, that I bring in clients, the primary way that I build credibility, all that kind of stuff. So that's one of the reasons why I was really excited to talk to you. You've done this for almost 30 years. How does someone who is, let's say they don't necessarily want to say, I'm a professional speaker. That's not necessarily what they're trying to build, but they're like, I'm a coach or I'm a transformational expert of some kind. How do I use speaking to build my business?
Yeah. And look, Josh, you're 100% right about the opportunity. Everybody should have a speaking component to their coaching business, to their training business, whatever, educator, transformation. You need to have a speaking, because if we look at it, if we just roll it back a little bit, the greatest way to build trust, rapport, credibility, authority, to position yourself as an expert is to get on stage. Is if you want to grow your business, is to get on stage and build trust, rapport, credibility, and your authority with your ideal client audience. So, you know, who is in your audience? And so to come to the question you asked about, well, how do people do that? Here's the first piece of the puzzle. And there are three pieces to it: profile, product, and pipeline. So let me explain each one of these. If we talk about profile, the first thing you have to master is you have to identify your ideal client. So if you're a coach and you're working with small, medium-sized businesses, you go, okay, now that's too broad. And I'd imagine, Josh, you mentor people on this. You got, you know, how much, you know, what's their annual turnover, their monthly turnover? What's their pain point? You know, what is it exactly that, you know, that you're going to solve for them? And I'll talk about that in a moment. So your ideal client. So it's probably based around a revenue, industry, a title. So if you look at it, they're the founder, or they're the CEO, or they're the owner, or they're decision maker. They're the C-suite. They're mid management. Whatever. So it could be title. It could be revenue based, and it could be industry based, and it could be a niche with inside an industry.
Yep.
So that's prospect. The second P around this is around positioning. You have to position yourself as the guru. And I say that lightheartedly, but you have to position yourself as the leading expert. So getting on stage is a great way to do that. Writing papers, writing books, putting out video content, you know, identifying the 20 things that people are searching in your market and doing a video on every one of those topics moving forward, and doing that every month. The other piece around, I just want to say about positioning, is often people, I'll give you an example, Josh. So, you know, I talk a lot about goal setting, and one of the things that I came across early in my career is that people would go, you know, so what do you speak on, Keith? Well, I talk about goal setting. Oh yeah, yeah, we've done that. You know, well, how many times? You know, like, yeah. our people got got yearly targets. That's okay. And one of the things I went, you know, and I, the pushback I gave was, yeah, but they haven't done goal setting with me. I've got a fairly comprehensive system, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I've written a whole diagnostic tool, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then what I worked out is, no, they don't need goal setting. That is the method, not the outcome. Then I created a program called Passionate People. I pitched it to organizations to say, what this program will do, it'll help your people become engaged, enthused, and energized, because you want them to do the work that matters, to make a difference, and to make sure that whatever they're doing in their life, it's meaningful. Does that make sense, you know, Mr. Mrs. CEO?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, by the way, Josh, there's not a person on this planet in business that says, oh no, geez, I don't want my people to be engaged, enthused, energized. Geez, not that.
I'd much rather they just be bored and show up for the minimum possible.
Exactly. So, and the method on how we get there is getting them very, very clear on their goals. And so all of a sudden, this program, 7,500 people go through this program. It's a program that is, I get paid my full daily rate, 25K, get paid the full daily rate at that. This is a few years ago now. Plus everybody got the toolbox, plus everybody got the $287 book, manual, you know, USB with all the modules on, blah, 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 blah. And so it's extremely lucrative. But I realized that what you and I and everybody listening, whatever you're talking about, you have to put a commercial reality on it. You have to put what's on the opposite side of your topic. Right. So for example, if you're the guru and getting referrals, that's great. But what's on the other side of that? Hey, the most profitable clients that you'll ever have in your business, full stop.
Yep.
Oh yeah, I want that. Profitable in that they stay with you longer, profitable because low cost of acquisition, profitable because they spend more because they trust you more before they've ever done business with you. So it's It's getting really clear on that. The third P in profile is process. Most people don't have, and in essence, if I can give you even a little bit more alliteration, three R's. The three R's is it has to be robust. In other words, if I'm traveling, if I'm on the road, if I'm at a presentation, it's still happening. The next piece of the puzzle, it has to be, there has to be a ritual around it. So the ritual for me, when, you know, the best bit of advice that I give people, Josh, when they say, look, my calendar's a bit, you know, light, I say, okay, contact seven people every day. What do you mean?
Yep.
I mean, text message, you know, Dean Jackson, 9-word email, you know, short video message, contact seven people every day. That's 35 people a week. 35 people a week, somebody is going to get confused enough to say yes. Somebody's going to say yes.
Yeah.
And so that's about that. And the final R is rhythm. And what I mean by rhythm is there, every business has seasons. Yes. And in essence, I started planting seeds 6 months ago for what I'm selling in the next 10 weeks to mm-hmm. my clients. I've got enough strategy and enough vision to go, if I'm going to sell this type of program, this type of presentation, then I need to plant the seed 6 months from now to soften the door. So when I do, you know, get on the front foot. So 6 months ago, to give you an example, I reached out to 200 of my clients around the world. And I said, you know, what are you focused on at the moment? And of course, you know, here's what come up. And it's no surprise to you, but here's what come up. Keith, we've got issues with culture because people are not in the office. We've got issues with connection to the company's vision because people are all islands.
Yep.
Keith, we have lost the art of collaboration. And so, you know, so taking that information, I go, okay, so how does goal set into that? Well, people have got to have a big enough reason why to come back to the office, and people have got to have a big enough reason why. Everybody's life over the last couple of years during the pandemic has been put on hold. Can I travel? Yeah. I don't know if I can. You know, can I go there? Do I have to wear a mask? You know, what do I? And so all of a sudden, there is an opportunity that what I'm selling to clients at the moment is a review. So review mindset, reset goals, refocus on the belief moving forward. So that's the first piece of the puzzle. The second piece of the puzzle is around product and product. So what we often think about for product is you think about a book, or you think about an online course, you think about your coaching program, and all of those things are absolutely fit into this model. But what I'm talking about is from a product point of view is you have to create a presentation that is remarkable. So the presentation is remarkable. Now it's because when it is remarkable, it becomes referable. And when it becomes referable, you get recurring bookings, recurring revenue, and recurring referrals. So if you take the remarkable and just dig a little bit deeper, the thing I noticed early on in my career is I'd say to people, and I ask this question, you know, who have you had previously at your conference? Or who have you worked with previously from a workshop perspective? What does that do? It gives me a bit of an understanding what their fee might be. It gives me a bit of an understanding what they've experienced. And it gives me a bit of an understanding of how much better I have to be to be in that league. And so what I found, Josh, is that people say, oh, yeah, we had this wonderful guy, you know, we had this wonderful gal, and our people really loved them. And it was, they were just remarkable. Who were they? They were good. And so
they were great, but I have no idea who they were.
Correct. And so if you want to be remarkable, you have to be memorable. And to be memorable, this is about making sure that, and we're quite strategic around getting referrals from an audience. We've got some wonderful strategies in place that we get 85% of every audience member will sign up for the package, the blog. They will give, they'll do three things. They'll sign up for our blog and the audio program and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. all the free stuff. They will give feedback about me, and they will tick a box to give us a referral on who else could benefit from our services. And so 85% of the people will go through that process. Not 85% of the people will tick the box, because not our ideal clients sometimes. Right. Or we change that when we're working with our ideal clients to say, would you like Keith to work with you and help you take your business, blah, 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 blah. And right. So that's our strategy. We do it, you know, we used to do it with a card. Now we do it with a QR code. But here's what I do with that content. Whatever content they've given me around the value they got from the session, and mm-hmm. if I'm looking to do more work in that organization, the other question is what else would you like, you know, what else would you like Keith to cover if he was invited back? And right. all of a sudden I get all this content to be able to go back to the organizers and say, this is what your people said about what they got out of the presentation. So congratulations for engaging me. And this is what they'd like to see more of. And so that's a way to gain referrals. And also on the flip side is not one presentation we do, Josh, hasn't got a fairly, not that people can see this, but a fairly strategic handout, and everything with our branding on, so that people are putting something in their pocket, in their, you know, on their phone, screensavers, whatever it is, to make sure they remember me.
Yeah.
So, and the other piece around the recurring is a byproduct of making sure you're remarkable and making sure that you gain the referrals. The other piece of the puzzle is around pipeline. And so the key with pipeline is making sure that you are prepared to have a sales conversation. And I get most coaches, sell their program and everything like that, but it's a little different in having a conversation around a presentation, or in the case that I often work with, is how do we get people to buy a 6 or 7 figure program? And the 6 and 7 figure programs, I learned a long time ago, and if I can sort of, you know, share this story, I get invited by one of my clients, and this was a great learning for me. I get invited to go, and they said, we'd like you to do 3 keynotes at this one conference, and what would it cost also for you to sort of be, we don't sort of need an MC, but we need somebody to join all the presenters together and just keep and summarize things and just, you know, keep everything flowing and people energized. And so, you know, this is probably close to 20 years ago now. And so my daily rate at that point in time was about 15. My keynote was 10. So I charged about $15,000. So it was $45,000 plus this company. I know pretty well, and I knew they'd want to do a couple of briefing calls and everything like that. So, we just rounded it up to, 50K. Mm-hmm. And I just heard and listened to a guy, and he was talking about, you should always give your clients 2 options. You know, it's easier to say, it's easier to get one of them rather than get none of them, type of thing. And you probably, you share this with most of your people on this podcast. So I go, okay, well, what else would I do? And so I just started thinking about all these different things that I could do over a 12-month period, but, you know, 9-month period, type of thing. And that I could, I could go state by state and do some follow-up sessions, and people could have access to me, and I could put some online, some video training modules they can run mm-hmm. in their regular meetings. And I just started piling all these things I could do. And so it popped out at $315,000. There's no way in the world. There's no way in the world they're going to go from 50 to 315.
No
way in the world. So I presented it to them and did a follow-up, and they go, we actually like the $315,000 option because it actually makes the conference live on for the whole year. And I'm going, how good am I? I mean, like, how clever, how smart, I'm walking into this conference going, most of that stuff I'm going to do remotely. I'm going to pre-record. I've got leverage. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at the back of the room. I've just introduced this training business that's going to run a training program right across the whole country for about, I don't know, we're probably talking maybe 3,000 people. And I'm sitting at the back of the room. 1,500 are going to go through this. 3,000 people in the group, in the organization. Sitting at the back of the room, and I am thinking, wow, you know what? I'm still in my head gloating about the 315,000. I'm sitting alongside the director of HR and the director of sales, and this guy starts standing up and starts talking about this program they're going to roll out. And I'm going, oh, geez, it sounds interesting. It actually sounds, I could probably do something like that. And the director of sales said to me, what do you think about this, Keith? And I was going, well, yeah, it sounds really interesting. And they said, would you like to see the program? So they give me the document. And I start looking through the document. I'm going, I could definitely do this. I get to the final page. Here, it's the investment, $1.22 million. All of a sudden, my 315,000, I'm going, oh, Jesus. All of a sudden, I'm not stepping quite high anymore.
No.
And what it was the greatest lesson, Josh, because the greatest lesson was, okay, I'm not thinking big enough.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking big enough because I haven't got my head around, well, how would I sell a $1.2 million program? The 315 was relatively easy. It just required a bit of gusto, but the 1.2. And so when I talk about having a stronger or a bigger conversation to fill your pipeline, it's really stoic saying, what's the potential here? You know, one of the things that I've learned from over the years, people often say to me, well, how much should I charge as a speaker? And my response always is, if it's a paid presentation, my response always is your fee is in direct comparison to your level of self-esteem. I think that applies for accountants, it applies for coaches. If you don't think you're worth it, you won't ask for it. And the first sale is always to yourself. And so that bigger conversation, from there, you have to get better at converting. And what I found is there is an art to selling bigger programs. And there is an art on how you pitch, present it, and then obviously persuade people to get on board. And then the final C around pipeline is consistency. You know, how many people are consistently inconsistent? And so it's making sure that people are consistent, you know, because the client you see today is a yes, not now. For whatever reason, I'm finishing off a project. We've got something else to run, whatever it might be, or we've got our program filled. And it's about being consistent in staying in touch with people. I'll share one story with you. One of the clients that's been my most profitable, one of the most profitable, 16 years of no. 16 years of no, not now, no, you're not the right fit, no. We're going to bring somebody in from the US. No, we are. We decided to use internal people this year. No, and then I get a phone call from them 7 years ago, out of the blue. So we've got a conference coming up. It's 1,200 people. We'd like you to speak at it. I've done just under 50 events for them over the last 7 years for about $1.1 million of front of house sales, back of house sales, and fee-based licensing, all sorts of things. And I just, you know, the one thing I say to lots of people, and whether you're a coach, whether you're a speaker, whether whatever industry you're in, is tenacity wins every race. I'm not the most talented. I'm not the most gifted. I'm not the Olympian. I'm not the one-legged mountain climber. I'm a noxious weed inspector from the Gold Coast that just decided to be masterful about presenting and be masterful about building a professional speaking business. And, you know, for every coach that's listening today, if your goal is to get on stage to fill your pipeline, then use those three: profile, product, and pipeline to get yourself on more stages, to generate higher fees, or to at least be paid to market to your ideal client. And yes, then to saying, and then to make sure you've got a bigger offering at the back end, whether that be group, whether that be an actual program, whether it be a longer term, 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, infinity offering. You just have to start to think strategically about how to do it. And that's the work that I do for the people I coach and mentor, you know, is right. I walk them through that model, help them build the $1 million program, help them, you know, create remarkable presentations, get their system in place so they're consistently have got rivers of referrals and leads as part of that. So, yeah, so that's, you know, you asked one question. It was a pretty long answer.
That was a great answer though. I've got 2-3 pages of notes. And I mean, I think the principles of success are the same. They haven't changed throughout time. I think the methods that we use to apply them sometimes and some of the tactics around, you know, what works, that'll change a lot, but the principles are the same. And it was great for me to hear you talk about and hit on some of those same principles. And so that's great. I think a lot of people don't realize the opportunity that is available in speaking. Like when you start talking about selling, like you said, you know, $315,000, and I know there was a bunch of folks listening, and there was a part of the back of my head listening that went, man, that's a big sale. That's cool. If I could do a few of those, I'd have a great, you know, great career. And then you're like, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And then 1.2 million. And all of a sudden a whole bunch of people's brains just went, what, hold on, what just happened?
And I got a coaching colleague of mine who I've known for a while, and we've done some mentoring work together, you know, just about getting on more stages. Just sold a $600,000 coaching program to a small team of executives in a large mining company, and one of the things that came out of for that person was, firstly, they're an expert in that area. They're absolutely, yep, there's probably nobody more knowledgeable in that area. So that organization, what we have to understand, Josh, for a lot of people, is that it's about backing yourself enough. It's about believing in yourself enough. It's about, yep, making sure that you're tenacious enough and that you do the activity to put you into those situations. You know, luck follows the brave, the bold, and the brilliant, you know. So we just have to make sure we put ourselves out there to be able to do that. And it's getting your head around it, you know, like 100%. The epiphany, the wonderful learning lesson for me was, wow, I'm just not thinking big enough. I had a mentor of mine, and I had an opportunity to go and pitch to a large bank and to the head of small business, and to work with all their business banking managers. And so my normal approach at that point was, go and do a discovery meeting, see if they're suitable, see if they're open. I would then walk away, and I'd pretty well map out what I was going to do, and I'd get some, you know, how many people and all that sort of stuff. And then I put together a proposal, and my mentor said to me, no, not doing it that way. So you're going to ask for a 20-minute meeting, and, 20 minutes to 30 minutes, and yep, you're going to go and you're going to pitch something without them knowing that you're going to pitch something to them. And I said, all right, look, they won't cop that. And he said, yep, well, let's see. And so rocked in there, and I said, Tim, you've said to me on a couple of occasions, and the couple of occasions I've worked with you, you want your people to do more of this and less of that. Is that still relevant? Yes, yeah, 100%. I have a concept. Let me share it with you. And I just walked through this document just like my mentor told me to, until I got to the final page, which was a whole lot of different fields with spaces for numbers. And I said, let's see what this investment would be. I did the investment on the spot with him. I said, okay, so how many people? Oh, it's 1,200 people. And so this program here, this is going to require this type of contact, you know. Yep, okay, so write that down. And the fee for that, da-da-da-da-da. And we get to the bottom, and it's 950,000. Does that make sense to him? Yeah, that makes sense to us.
All right, sign here.
And it was like, what just happened? How did that happen? Yep. And so it's getting a head around it sometimes. You know, we're, you know, I love that quote from Sir, you know, from, love that quote from Sir Edmund Hillary, who climbed Everest. He said, it's not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves. And yep. sometimes we've got to get out of our own way. And you're right about the success principles are the same. Some of the methods that we use now are different. You know, we're not doing cold calling. We're doing LinkedIn outreach. You know, we're not writing letters to people. We're sending video, short video messages to people. So it's all those types of things. But once again, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and the reason why it's one of my favorites, I thought of it, is activity cures inactivity.
You know? Yeah, that's true. Instant cure for inactivity is activity.
But what if it's not right? It can't be any worse than doing nothing.
At least you're doing something, moving things forward. I think this has been great. I really appreciate this. I think if nothing else, I mean, there's a ton of gold, a ton of great stuff that you included in, you know, the three P's and all the sub P's and C's and R's, right? But I think the biggest thing is there's so many folks that listen to this podcast that are like, man, I'd love to have, you know, $500,000 a year coaching practice, but they can never see themselves getting around to that. And that's what I do is I work with coaches who are, you know, they're at that $100,000, $200,000 spot, and they want to get to that $500,000, $750,000, you know, working themselves or a small team. But so many folks are like, I don't think I can. I've never seen that. I don't know what whatever that mental hurdle is. Just hearing some of the numbers and some of the stories that you've shared and just opening their minds to the possibilities, like why stop at 500,000? Why stop at 750? You could be doing a ton.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I've got a couple of mates that you and I both know from our networks that we float in. Mm-hmm. $4 million coaching business, 15 hours a month.
Yep.
You know, the one thing I'd say, a great mentor shared this with me a couple of years ago, and it's really just resonated with me. You know, the reason why most people can't get their head around it is the internal language. And, you know, the internal language is, am I? You know, am I good enough? Am I worthy? Am I deserving? Am I deserving of that type of revenue? Am I deserving of that type of recognition status? Am I good enough for people to listen to? Am I smart enough for them to what's saying to pay me that type of money? And what we have to shift, Josh, is we have to shift the am I to I am. Mm-hmm. I am worthy. I am deserving. I am deserving of that. I am good enough for someone to pay me $1 million. I am good enough for someone to pay me $600,000. I am smart enough. I'm intelligent enough. And we have to, and that's the first sale, because when you say, am I, and I had to get my head around this, you know, why am I not on those types of big stages? Why am I not getting the $1 million programs? And I got my, we have to move from am I, which is a question. This is this internal question. This is this, you know, one foot on the accelerator, one foot on the brake all the time. We have to move from questioning ourselves consistently to our affirming ourselves consistently. Yeah. And the affirmation is am I. I am. I am. I am. I am worthy. I am deserving. So, I mean, you know, when people get their head around that, and I think, you know, the other thing I'd say, and not to kick into goal setting at this point of time, but the thing that they have to understand is they've got to have a big enough reason why. You know, they've got to have a big enough reason why to do the uncomfortable, the inconvenient, and the unknown.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Thanks, Keith. I really appreciate you being here. I appreciate your time. And there's so much great stuff here. I got one question for you real quick to wrap up, which is the question I ask everybody. What are you excited about right now? What's going on in your world that's got you jazzed?
Yeah, look, I've just launched a speaker coaching, it's called Get On More Stage Mastermind Program for coaches, trainers, speakers, to help them get on more stages, get higher fees, and leverage their expertise through, you know, large programs. And so I'm really excited about that. About 6 months ago, Josh, I said, you know, look, I love speaking, but I said, what else do I love to do? And I love to have conversations with coaches and speakers about how to get on more stages, to build their profile, to, you know, boost their revenue. So I'm really pumped and really jacked up about that at the moment. So, that's what, you know, that's what That's what's energizing, enthusing, and engaging me.
Excellent. And what's the best place for people to find you? We'll put it all in the show notes, but just what's of all of the ways to get to you, what's the best?
Yeah, lovely. They can reach out to me on a few different ways. Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at keithabraham.com.au, email address. They can go to my LinkedIn, which is Keith Abraham CSP. And they can go to our Facebook group, which is Get On More Stages on Facebook. And, cool. You know, look, if all else fails, just send a courier pigeon to Beaconsfield Terrace, Brisbane.
Perfect. Thanks, Keith. It's been awesome. Thanks for being here.
No worries. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
That's it for this episode of Profit for Coaches. I've been your host, Joss Willard. To make sure you never miss a new episode, go to profitforcoaches.com to subscribe now. You'll also find all the show notes, resources, guides, links, freebies, and other goodies that we mention on the show. Plus, we've got some special bonuses there just for our subscribers. So, to make sure you profit fully from this and each new episode of Profit for Coaches, go to profitforcoaches.com now.